Blog Talk Radio. Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to this, our first broadcast of the fall season of Money and Other Things Financial. This is your host, Bostonian, coming to you as usual from the Hub, Boston, Massachusetts, on October the 4th, 2020, and the temperature at airtime is 57 degrees. We're going to be starting to get the cool weather unless we get some what they used to refer to as Indian summer, which we would all appreciate to make the cold season much shorter. So anyway, I want to start out by saying I hope all of you have the President and the First Lady in your prayers after the announcement on Friday that the President was admitted to the Walter Reed Hospital with a case of COVID-19. So we need to pray for him and, for that matter, all of those in our country that were affected. We had a number of senators, I think, that also recently contracted it. Senator Tillis and Lee. And also, I believe, Johnson and former governor of New Jersey, Chris Christie. There's quite a few announcements. You've probably all heard of them by now, but let's keep everyone in our prayers, even those that we don't agree with politically or in other ways. We still want to practice our Christian faith by praying for them and wishing them the best. So I want to let you know that the chat room is open. Let me see if anyone is in there. And I'll give you the call-in number after I check that out. No one in there. Of course, the work week starts tomorrow, so everybody's probably getting into the time to call it a night. But you can always check this show out by going to blogtalkradio.com and typing in Money and Other Things Financial. And you should be able to get the archive versions. So we're in the fall season. The fourth quarter of the year has started. And did you know that, I didn't know this, but on Peter Schiff's podcast, he pointed out that although September is the worst month of the year for the economy in an election year, October has taken that unwelcome prize, that it is the worst month, so we need to be prepared for things this month. Of course, it'll be the last month before the election on November the 3rd, which is a major event that will set the pace for the next 4 years. And there's all kinds of issues to be faced by the new administration or the other offices that are up for election. A lot of Senate seats are up. I think one-third of the Senate, if I'm not mistaken, is being voted on this year, and there's a lot of battleground states. So there's a lot going on. But right now, as usual, I want to give you the results of, that I give every 2 weeks regarding the coronavirus statistics. So let me give you those quickly because we got a lot to cover. Again, let me give you the call-in number. It's 914-803-4379. So on the global level, the infected total is 35,323,807. That's up from 31,217,248. Active cases, 7,991,239. The deaths globally, 1,040,426. That's up from 964,726. And the recovered is a huge figure, 26,292,142, compared to 22 million plus in the previous 2 weeks. So we see a lot of people recover from this, and we certainly hope that all those that have been affected will be in that group, and we pray for them continually, because in this country, in God, we trust. All right, the United States of America figures infected 7,626,361, compared to about 7 million 2 weeks ago. That's an increase of about 300,000 a week. The active for tonight's reading is 2,572,107. That's up just slightly, up about 2,548 before, so about 30,000 more. And the deaths in the USA is 214,491, and that's up from 204,115, about a 10,000 increase. And the recovered is 4,839,763, and that's up about 600,000. So we seem to see the figures slightly less of an upward trend, but still increases. And let's hope that they continue to decrease till they. There's no more cases, and certainly no more deaths. Of course, a lot of these figures are always questionable. The figures on everything that I talk about is questionable, whether it's economic figures, the medical statistics, election results, polling figures. How valid are all these numbers? I am suspect, being a person that works with numbers as an accountant, I am very suspect of pretty much all of them. Many of the figures come from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and we need to challenge them all the time, look into them, make them better. With regard to immigration, we need to have work toward no illegal immigration, and with regard to voting, we need to have no fraudulent voting. We're supposed to be forming a more perfect union. Forming a more perfect union means that we have less violations of our good of our legal system. And if our legal system is corrupt, as some contend, that you've heard the term systemic racism. Well, if that's the case, we should do what we can to eliminate that within the principles of our Constitution. Not to the point where we resort to violence and mayhem and looting and pillaging and stealing. This is not the way to solve the problem. We have a system that's been with us since our founding in 1776. Well, the Constitution, I think, was 1787, if I'm not mistaken. So that's quite a long time that we've lived by the Constitution, but now we see it is under attack, and many of us feel that there are forces afoot that are out there trying to destroy our country, and we are determined not to let that happen. That's why I want to encourage you all to do your due diligence and research your candidates for all the offices, from the local offices to the federal, to the state and the federal levels, and vote your conscience, talk it over among yourselves, and you find out as much as you can about candidates. You can make a mistake, but you can only do your best, and then ask above all for God's help in making that decision, or those decisions. Okay, well, I want to mention that I'm going to give you an update on the president's condition. He was admitted to the hospital on Friday after participating in two rallies on Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday in Duluth, Minnesota, which was a very enthusiastic rally, and I'm going to play a clip of that shortly. He was speaking, I think, for about 2 hours, certainly over an hour, but I'm only going to play a little bit. We don't have that much time. But then on Wednesday, and then on Thursday, he went to Bedminster, I believe, in New Jersey. And Friday, of course, he had some mild symptoms, I read, and he went to the Walter Reed Hospital in Washington. So we'll talk about that in a minute, but let me play the portion of the clip from his rally in Duluth, Minnesota, where he was very well received. Here we go.
Of rebuilding other nations, we are finally rebuilding our nation. In 2017, I signed a very historic executive order, making it difficult and really just looking at what government policy has to do in order to buy American and hire American. You ever see Biden? He's got a sign, buy American. I said, he got it from me. I've been doing this for a long time. Copies my campaign, copies are plans, he's copies a lot. You haven't heard that before. He invested $2.5 trillion in the military. We put $2.5 trillion in. We have the best weapons, all made in the USA. We have the greatest weaponry we've ever had. No country has ever come close to the kind of firepower we have. Hopefully, hope to God we never have to use it. We have firepower and weapons, and the Republicans did it because they're Democrats, so we have to have that. Otherwise, we're going to be at the mercy of other countries. We have the greatest firepower, the greatest weapons in the history of the world. Hope to God that we never have to use them. And we launched a new branch of the U.S. Armed Forces, first since the Air Force in 75 years. It's called the Space Force. That's a big deal. We killed the founder and leader of ISIS, al-Baghdadi, gone. We took out the world's number one terrorist and the murder of so many American troops and plenty of other troops. Qasem Soleimani is no longer with us. I withdrew from the last administration. Total disaster, the Iran nuclear deal, okay? Obama gave $150 billion. That was bad, but he gave him $1.8 billion in cash. How the hell do you do that? What does $1.8 billion in cash look like? They must have looked at that and they said, man, plane loads of cash. I kept my promise, recognized the true capital of Israel, and opened the American embassy in Jerusalem. I also recognized Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, and instead of endless wars, we are forging peace in the Middle East. And I was nominated for 3 Nobel Prizes, and I didn't get one star. I have to tell you, because they refused to write it. When Obama got his Nobel Prize, they didn't. I mean, it was the biggest story I've ever seen, right? And he didn't even know why he got it. He got it, like, immediately upon taking office. What a difference. But I told my first lady, Darling, you're going to be so proud of me tonight. We're going to watch television. And you're not going to believe how big this got. What happened? What happened? Darling, I was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize for Israel, right? Bahrain, United Arab Emirates. And then again, I was nominated again for Serbia, Kosovo, all different. Then I was nominated the third time. But I said, first time, second time, I was a little bit, yeah, I know, I love you too. But I said to our First Lady, watch this tonight, darling. It's going to be. And I turned to Lester Holt, number two show. I turned to Lester Holt, and they covered one story about rain. Another was about the environment. Another was about something else. Another was a bad hit on me. Another was something else. But now we're through with about half of it. Now they went to the longest commercial I've ever seen. Not supposed to. You know, when you report the fake news, you're not supposed to get free airtime from the U.S. government, right? Does anybody know what that means? And then they went on to the second half. Again and again and again, she looked at me, darling, I don't think they're going to cover this. I said, it's impossible. It's a nomination for the Nobel Peace Award. It's impossible. Guess what? It ended. We got nothing. Then 3 days later, we got nothing. And on the third time, I said, let's not even watch. We're not going to get any. These people are sick. But I did more in 47 months than Sleepy Joe Biden did in 47 years. And now he's pushing the most far-left platform in history. The Biden plan would destroy Social Security and destroy protections for people with pre-existing conditions. Give free federal health care to all illegal aliens, bankrupting Medicare. Well, you know what's going to happen. They're going to pour into our country. When you hear that, they're going to come in. They're very smart, very sophisticated. You'd be surprised. Ban school choice and ban all charter schools. No more charter schools, no more school choice. Well, we're making a lot of progress. In the second term, I will provide school choice to every parent in America. A vote for a Republican is a vote for safe communities, great jobs, and a limitless future for all Americans. And in conclusion, over the next 4 years, we will make America into the manufacturing superpower of the world. And we will end our reliance on China once and for all. Did you see what he said last night about manufacturing? Well, Obama said, we're not going to ever have manufacturing because you need a magic wand. Last night he said, we're doing manufacturing. No. They gave up on manufacturing. I have almost 700,000 manufacturing jobs. I said, how can you lose manufacturing? These bad news, they lie. We will make our medical supplies right here in the United States. We will hire more police, increase penalties on assault. And we will ban deadly sanctuary cities. We will uphold religious liberty, free speech, and the right to keep and bear arms. We will strike down terrorists who threaten our citizens, and we will keep people out of our country. Thank you. But we will keep out of these ridiculous, endless wars in countries that you've never heard of and you never will hear of. It's ridiculous. And we're bringing them all home. You see that? We will maintain America's unrivaled military might, and we will ensure peace through strength. That's what we have. Ridiculous. We're all over the world. We're in places nobody ever heard of before. We will end surprise medical billing, require price transparency. I've already signed it. Can you believe it kicks in on January 1st? Can you imagine if this clown gets in and they'll say, you got price transparency. What's that? That'll have such an impact. It kicks in. I said to my people, do you think you could have kicked it in a little bit earlier? And further reduce health insurance premiums and the cost of prescription drugs, which we're going to be bringing down massively because of favored nations. We will strongly protect Medicare and Social Security, and we will always protect those incredible people, as I said, with pre-existing conditions. America will land the first woman on the moon, and the United States will be the first nation to land an astronaut on Mars, and it will be so. You have to see, NASA has become again the greatest space center in the world. You had to see what it looked like when I took over. It was terrible. We will stop the radical indoctrination of our students and restore patriotic education to our schools.
Okay, well, there's quite a litany of programs for the president, and hopefully he can deliver on all of them, and we need to support him, and if we don't agree with some of them, let him know and tell him what you think is will go toward making our union a more perfect one. I might play some more of that in the non-live portion. I was going to play another 5 minutes or so, but I don't want to take up the whole show on that. The next thing I want to give you is an update on the president's condition. This was the doctor speaking on Sunday, I believe, today. Let's make sure what day it was. Yeah, it was today. So let's listen to the doctor here speaking. His name is Dr. Sean Conley. I think he's a commander in the Navy. So let's listen to what he has to say.
Over the course of the year, we experienced two episodes of transient drop in his oxygen saturation. We debated the reasons for this and whether we'd even intervene. It was a determination of the team, based predominantly on the timeline for the initial diagnosis, that we initiate dexamethasone.
Regarding his clinical status, the patient continues to improve. He has remained without fever since Friday morning. His vital signs are stable. From a pulmonary standpoint, he remains on room air this morning and is not complaining of shortness of breath or other significant respiratory symptoms. He's ambulating himself, walking around the White House medical unit without limitation or disability. Our continued monitoring of his cardiac, liver, and kidney function demonstrates continued normal findings or improving findings.
The president yesterday evening completed his second dose of remdesivir. He's tolerated that infusion well. We've been monitoring for any potential side effects, and he has had none that we can tell. His liver and kidney function have remained normal, and we continue to plan to use a five-day course of remdesivir. In response to transient low oxygen levels, as Dr. Conley has discussed, we did initiate dexamethasone therapy, and he received his first dose of that yesterday, and our plan is to continue that for the time being. Today, he feels well. He's been up and around. Our plan for today is to have him to eat and drink, be up out of bed as much as possible, to be mobile, and if he continues to look and feel as well as he does today, our hope is that we can plan for a discharge as early as tomorrow to the White House where he can continue his treatment course.
Why were you so reluctant until today to disclose that the president had been administered oxygen?
It's a good question.
Thank you.
I was trying to reflect the upbeat attitude that the team, president, this course of illness has had. Didn't want to give any information that might steer the course of illness in another direction. And in doing so, you know, it came off that we were trying to hide something, which wasn't necessarily true. Here I have it. The fact of the matter is that he's doing really well. That he is responding, and as the team said, if everything continues to go well, we're going to start discharge planning back to the White House.
Okay, well, that was a 2-minute briefing there from his medical attendants at the Walter Reed Hospital. And I just saw today that he did leave the hospital and he took a brief motorcade around the area, waving to his supporters. And he looked pretty good in the limousine that he was driving in with other people, everyone wearing masks. And hopefully they realize what they're doing and that they feel that this is their way of operating. They have a choice and they made it, and we have to respect that. So sort of like the climate change issue, you get, if people don't agree with you, they want to attack you almost on everything that they don't agree with. We'd probably do the same to some extent, but we have to respect each other's viewpoints and let the people decide when it comes to be voting time. So he did take a tour, and then he went back to the hospital, and as you heard the doctor say, he may be released as early as tomorrow to the White House for more recovery time. Hopefully he'll be ready for the next debate. We do have the vice presidential debate in Salt Lake City coming up on October 7th, Wednesday. So we'll all be interested in that. By the way, on the blood oxygen issue, I learned that the when they say his blood oxygen level went below 90, I found that the normal level is between 95 and 100, I believe. Normal level. And his dropped below 90, maybe even into the high 80s. But they did their medical procedures, and it came back to within that range. I think I read it was 98 at the end of the treatment to get it back above the what they would like to see. So a normal reading is between 95 and 100. So hopefully he will be okay there, and his breathing will be okay. And he does have, he's in his 74, and he has a weight problem. So those they're all concerned about. So let's see what's next. We got the issue of the Supreme Court nominee. I understand Mitch McConnell is on track with having the Judiciary Committee meeting and starting the procedure. The hearing will start on the nomination of Amy Coney Barrett on October 12th. So there we have tomorrow, October the 5th. We may see the president back at the White House, and then October the 7th is the vice presidential debate, and October 12th, maybe the Senate Judiciary Committee will begin hearing on the SCOTUS nominee to replace Ginsburg, as that would make a full complement of 9 that I think would be in the country's best interest. Okay, so let me give you some figures. The Dow Jones closed at 27,682.81. The NASDAQ at 11,000. That was up from the previous 2 weeks. NASDAQ 11,075.01. Also up. S&P was up at 3,348.44. Gold closed at 1,898.80, just a bit below the 1900 level. That was down from the previous 2 weeks. Silver at 2369. That's kind of been taking a hit, and that was down. It was 661,000 jobs created in September. They had been expecting 800,000, but this is still an increase, and it's important that we get back to the pre-pandemic levels, and we have to be very concerned about shutdowns. The unemployment rate dropped from 8.4 to 7.9. They were expecting it to drop to 8.2, but it dropped even lower. Of course, this labor participation rate also dropped, which is not good, but we need more participation in the labor force. The president's approval ratings of 45.3, that was up from the previous 2 weeks. The disapproval, 52.7, that was down slightly. So the next show, ladies and gentlemen, will be on October the 13th on Blog Talk Radio, so that's about it. We'll see you in 2 weeks. God bless you. Stay safe. Stay healthy. And God bless America. Good night, everyone. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bostonian coming to you with the non-live portion of the show. 15 minutes of me talking about what I want to talk about, basically. And hopefully you will enjoy it or get something out of it. We need to pay attention to what's going on. We need to have more discussions. And hopefully we will get to the answers if we can keep the emotions down and stay focused on the issues and what's good for our country as we see, as God gives us the light to see what is good. So right now I'm going to play a clip of Dr. Lively's views on the matter of the President Trump's COVID. He sees it as a major positive. This is a short clip, and we'll have some more time. I may play some more of the clip of the Trump rally in Duluth, which was quite an enthusiastic one. So let's listen to Dr. Lively, and I'll be back when he's through. Here we go.
Monitored the news and have learned that President Trump and First Lady Melania have been diagnosed with COVID-19. And frankly, I couldn't think of a better thing to happen, politically speaking, than for the president himself to be able, because I assume with high confidence that President Trump is going to quickly recover from this with very minimal effects, and he's going to be able to testify personally as a survivor of COVID-19, how effective hydroxychloroquine is, because I'm sure that's what they have on him on right now, and that he's going to be able to be a one-man counterforce to the whole second wave of the coronavirus 19, which many of us have been predicting all along, will be the October surprise of the 2020 election. In fact, Richard May and I were on a few weeks ago on Breaking News Bible Study, and I said that's the number one most likely October surprise from the Democrats is a COVID-19 second wave. The Uber Rhino Charlie Baker in Massachusetts, who I ran against twice for governor of Massachusetts, is already saying that he's looking at the second lockdown of Massachusetts. And of course, President Trump, having gotten the disease, is going to give him the ability to knock all that in the head in 2 weeks, 14 days after the quarantine is done, and he successfully recovered from this with minimal effects. He's going to be able to discuss this authoritatively like nobody else. I think it's going to be the perfect antidote to the poison of panic of the public. He's going to be able to be a voice of reassurance and calm everybody down. I couldn't think of a better thing to happen. Anyway, God bless you, President Trump. Pray for your speedy recovery. And I thank God that he's providing you with his opportunity to be able to speak directly to the issue from personal experience and sort of bypass all these public health officials and experts, quote-unquote experts, who are politically motivated to keep the country locked down to try to prevent your reelection. So, anyway, that's all I got this morning. Simple, straightforward, and talk to you next time.
Okay, short and sweet.
President Trump testing positive for COVID-19, raising a red flag about the number of people who may have.
Let's see what that's all about.
The governor says state officials have begun contacting after the president's big event on race and medicine.
I don't know where that's coming from. Let's see if I can find it and turn it off. Sometimes these things start up when you don't want them to.
Does the president know about the pick?
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, Hope. I don't know the answer to that. I'm not going to get into an exact timeline. But safe to say.
Okay, there we go. I was able to shut that down. All right, so basically, I want to close out with some more of the president's speech in Duluth. And we have 7 minutes or so, so let's listen to a little bit more, and then I'll be back. Here we go. And these are his remarks that we will need to understand as we vote. Is this the thing? These are the things that he stands for, and do you agree with them? If so, help him to get reelected. It's very important. Next 4 years, it will be vitally affected by this decision we make on November the 3rd. So listen to the president closely.
So we have to love our country, honor our history, and always respect our great American flag. Timeless words of our national motto, in God we trust. Now you have a president who is standing up for America and standing up for the great people of Minnesota. Thank you. But if we don't, we're never calling you great again. So get your family, get your neighbors, and get your coworkers, and get out and vote. We got to win. Don't wait, please. Go out and vote. Did you see in New York today? 100,000 fraudulent ballots. They sent out 100,000 ballots. Wrong names, wrong addresses, wrong envelopes. Other than that, they did quite well. Think of it, 100,000. So you know what their solution? That's okay, we'll send out another 100,000. I said, really? What's going to happen to the first 100,000? Who's going to vote them? This is crazy what's going on. This is crazy. From St. Paul to St. Cloud, from Minneapolis to Minnetonka, and from Rochester to right here in Duluth. I like Duluth. This great state was created by men and women who braved the wilderness and the winters to build a better life for themselves and for their families. They were truly brave, brilliant, incredible people. They were tough and they were strong. They didn't have a lot of money. They didn't have a lot of luxury. But they had grit, they had faith, and they had each other. They were lumberjacks, fishermen and farmers, shipbuilders and shopkeepers, but they all had one thing in common. They loved their families, they loved their country, and they loved their God.
Yes, I'm glad he said that, that this is one nation under God. In America, we don't trust in the government, we trust in God. And the government should understand that, that that's how the country was founded, and this is what the people want. So that's about it for this week. The next show will be on October the 18th. Quite a bit will have happened by then. So come and join us and keep fighting for what you believe you want your country to be. Do you want it to be the country that the founders intended, or do you want it to turn into a Marxist operation? So God bless you all. Keep safe. And God bless America with this famous closing rendition of that theme.